If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. This is the Sonya Poulton Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the first of our extended 2-hour daily shows. Wonderful to be here with you. And I hope you had a fantastic weekend. And I have to just start on some sad news, a tribute really to one of our commenters. Stephen Puey sadly left us last week, has gone over to that other plane. I'm sure it's a whole lot better over there in many respects. But sending love to Stephen and his family and people in the chat who were very close to him, because we are a community around here. So let me just say this. I received some wonderful, wonderful messages from people about extending our show today. Let's kick off. Claire on Instagram said, I didn't know TNT Radio existed until you announced you were starting your own show there a few weeks back. Now TNT is all I listen to. Such a refreshing change to have uncensored news and discussions. Thank you, Claire. We truly appreciate that. And JP noted on Instagram, I know you weren't ready to do a 2-hour show at first, but this is what should always have been. I work in retail and always listen at work with a cheeky headphone in before customers start arriving. Good to hear it, JP. Thank you both and all of you for being here with us on this Monday, March the 18th, 2024. Now, I want to start off by saying I'm not a royalist. Anyone who knows me knows that. I've never been. I would turn this fair land into a republic tomorrow if I had the power to do so. But I have one question. Where is Kate? Yes, where is she? You don't have to be conspiratorially minded to realise that 1 week on from the outrageously faked photo of Kate, it is evident that some kind of cover-up is taking place. Something has happened. The fact is, the Kate thing is weird at this stage. Where is she? Have they done something with her? Why is the royal household faking pictures of her and then being forced to admit it because the Photoshop seemed deliberately bad? It's not like they don't have some precedent in these matters. The male royals have a long history of problems with the females they bring into the royal household, and it is not uncommon for these women to be cast aside, to experience abandonment, trauma, and even death. What about the Queen's cousins? Remember them? They were shunted away in a home because they had learning disabilities, shunned from society because they made the royal family look less than perfect. And what about Diana's somewhat prophetic letter a year before she died? Do you remember that? She actually wrote, my husband is planning an accident in my car, brake failure or serious head injury in order to make the path clear for him to marry Tiggy, who was Harry and William's nanny at the time. And Diane further went on to state that Camilla was nothing but a decoy, a bit like Brigitte Macron then. I joke. But that was, I think, really a very powerful and important note that Diana left. And this is not just some royal gossip, but there is a serious question here. Well, many, actually, and the Daily Mail, who are notorious supporters of royalty, are even asking questions. And Buckingham Palace is declining to answer even to the Daily Mail. The royal family enjoy such widespread support and worship in British media precisely because they work hand in hand. But suddenly, something is not working. And let's just have a quick look. Oh, and by the way, The Sun, you know, that bastion of honesty and truth owned by Rupert Murdoch. Well, they reported a sighting of Kate. Oddly enough, no pictures. No pictures of the world's current most famous missing person. Kate and William apparently were reportedly seen at one of their favourite spots. It's a mile from Adelaide Cottage in Windsor. The sighting was at the Windsor Farm Shot. And The Sun said, and the Daily Mail together said, this will provide a much needed boost to the British public. Oh, please, we're worried about our bills. But we're asking about Kate because something is wrong, something is off, and questions must be asked. And some of the questions that the Daily Mail asked was, who made the decision to release a surprise Mother's Day picture and with such little advance notice? And that already gives you an indication of how the royal household and the newspapers work together. Why wasn't William in the picture? Why didn't the couples or their advisors realise that editing several aspects of the image would be immediately spotted. Were any staff involved in the production of the photo? And it goes on and on. And what will Kensington Palace do to restore trust in the information it shares? Because the reality is, this has blown it wide open. This has made people realise that really we just receive this sort of constant stream of public relations from the royal household. And as soon as things get a little too real, what do? They release a botched Photoshop jobby. Something's wrong and we need to know what it is. And just before I welcome in my first guest, I see that there is a new study. Apparently, catching COVID has made people less intelligent, with severe infections reducing IQ the most. Make of that what you will. I see that Jeremy Vine, the broadcaster, is suing Joey Barton, who was on here last week. And well, actually, the next story I'm about to discuss with my first guest. So let us bring him in. I'll be back very shortly.
Conversations to inform and include.
It's meant for everyday people to understand.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, it's so good to be joined by Jeff Peel this morning. He's what I call a safe pair of hands in this business. Somebody I can routinely trust on to come with the goods. Good morning to you, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great, Sonia, and congratulations on your two-hour slot. And I, once again, I think it was one of your first guests when you started at TNT, so delighted to be on your new two-hour format as well.
Absolutely. This is not a coincidence, Jeff. There is a reason for this. And so, Jeff, if you're not familiar, he's a tech marketer. He's the editor of New Era, and he is a damn good commentator as well. So, I mean, first of all, Jeff, obviously, we're going to talk about this plot to do with Penny Mordaunt. She's clearly being lined up to do with Rishi Sunak. But let us first of all look back to this period 4 years ago, because I think it is important. It was actually you who reminded me that this is the fourth year anniversary week since lockdown, right? And I can't actually believe it's 4 years because, well, it just seems so extraordinary. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's almost exactly 4 years. I think it was the 23rd of March 2020 when they decided to lock us down. And of course, that was the first time we realized that so-called democracies could use Chinese style authoritarianism to simply close down society, stop us meeting people, moving around, going about our daily business. And you know, that was when everything changed. I think everybody, certainly on our side of the argument, you could have just gone along with it and taken the furlough payments. But for people like us, Sonia, I think we looked at this and thought everything changes. And that, to some extent, that's why I called my blog The New Era, you know, because this is the new era. And it was clear that something happened then. Not that, obviously, there were things happening prior to that we didn't really know much about. But after that point, it was clear that the world was kind of divided between the ruling elite, which was essentially a corporatist elite. And it was the point at which the corporates pretty much took over. And I suppose that manifested itself in the fact that we were more aware of organizations that acted as mouthpieces for corporations and organizations and super capitalist. And I hate to refer to these organizations as capitalist because they're not. They destroyed the basis of capitalism from that point on. Small businesses went to the wall. The cost of living went through the roof. They started picking wars simply to define what commodity prices we were going to be paying, et cetera, et cetera. So everything changed from that point. And I suppose Penny Mordaunt, more than just about any politician in the UK, kind of represents the march of corporatism against the citizenry, because she is an exemplar of how self-seeking politicians have replaced people committed to public service. Because up to that point, I think we had a number of politicians who were committed to public service and were committed to doing the best for the citizenry, but they were wholesale replaced from March 2020 and replaced with this corporatist groupthink and authoritarianism, which resulted in the abject failure of the United Kingdom as an economy and its potential replacement by a globalist elite.
I mean, that's exactly it, isn't it? If there's anybody who does represent globalism, and certainly amongst members of parliament, it has to be Penny Mordaunt. You're absolutely right. And last night, I was just thinking about this conversation. I was reflecting back over the last 4 years. And of course, as many people in the UK know, lockdown not only should never have happened, but it should never have happened, because only days before they actually pushed through lockdown, they had actually downgraded COVID, right, from a highly infectious disease. So there was actually no reason to do it, even from their perspective. But as we know, lockdown was not about lockdown at all. It was about all these things that Jeff is talking about. And Penny Mordaunt, so she's had this incredible rise. For somebody who's actually considered to be not particularly a talented politician, she's had this incredible rise, Jeff. So obviously she's aligned with Bill Gates. He wrote the foreword in her book. She's head of the Privy Council. That's why many people remember her walking with Charles at the coronation. She's Speaker in the House of Commons. She's had these incredible roles. She's like the first woman to lead part of the armed forces. So she's had these incredible roles, this incredible rise. And now it would appear that she's being lined up for the top job, which I and many others have foreseen for a long period of time. I actually did an editorial a couple of weeks ago, Jeff, about her being lined up for that. So it's interesting over the weekend that the headlines have been very much, they are now sort of jockeying her into position.
Absolutely. And to some extent, obviously, she's, clearly there's going to be a degree of competition between certain senior members of the Conservative Party for the leadership. It's clear that Rishi is under pressure. But of course, Rishi is just one of many corporatists within the leadership of the Conservative Party. And Penny is jockeying for position. But she's also adopting the kind of modus that was adopted by, say, Tony Blair, you know, with Alistair Campbell. She comes from a public relations background. Her first job, after graduating, was in PR. She's now aligned herself with Chris Lewis of Lewis PR, the sort of self-appointed public relations guru. I don't think he's quite, while Alistair Campbell was malevolent in the extreme, Chris Lewis is a kind of wannabe PR guru, but certainly he has aligned himself with Penny. Interestingly, though, Lewis PR was always very much associated with tech. You know, in my previous world of, you know, working in tech marketing, you know, our paths often crossed. And he aligns himself with technology organizations, which are typically members of the World Economic Forum. And of course, Penny schmoozes around at the WEF in Davos when she can. And in fact, she was one of the leaders of the Conservative Party who attended the World Economic Forum in Davos in 2019, just before the whole COVID lockdown shenanigans kicked off, along with about a quarter of the cabinet. You know, it's astonishing to what extent these people are absolutely embedded. And it goes both ways, of course. The WEF is embedded in the Conservative Party and the leadership of the Conservative Party and vice versa. And to an extent, it's a kind of US-UK coalition of large corporates who often have PR gurus to advise them, working with politicians to create sort of pseudo public-private partnerships. So they are essentially, and people like Penny are essentially mouthpieces for corporates. Lewis PR's clients include Schneider Electric, for example, which is all about the fourth industrial revolution and putting sensors everywhere and surveilling everything we do in life. So it's all this corporatist speak and thinking and surveillance and control and society ruled by spooks, which is kind of Penny's bread and butter.
Absolutely it is. Let us take a brief break for some news headlines and we will be right back.
TNT's Jason Olborn.
What that sneaky World Health Organization, that private organization linked to the United Nations, is planning to do to take away yours and my medical sovereignty. Or pretending that they're not going to, of course, because it just so happens that they have got the ability to look into a crystal ball, see around corners, and tell us that there is yet another virus or disease or sickness coming for us. And the only way that we survive it is to do exactly what Tedros tells us to do, even though the man's not even a doctor. Can't even tell his own Ethiopian country on three separate occasions, goodness me, that they have had a cholera outbreak. Cholera characterized by acute watery diarrhea that, if not diagnosed correctly, can result in death. Well, on three occasions, Tedros's answer was, we didn't have good enough testing or testing available, so we didn't really know that it was cholera. That's the guy who's leading the world.
Weekends with Jason Olborn on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Ladies and gentlemen,
today's News Talk.
News and information.
TNT Radio.
Good morning to you in the chat. How are you? I hope you're all right. Some of those messages are not making any sense to me. I'm sure they will later. Jeff and I were just discussing about, obviously, the changes that are taking place in Parliament. But Jeff, part of this problem is this huge disenfranchisement that people have, which again is also linked to what I now call the COVID years. There was a poll recently because obviously the Tories, the ruling party, they were hoping that the budget was going to suddenly somehow seal their success, but actually it's made a complete a dent in their polling. Support for their party is now at a 40-year low. Jeff, do you think any of that has to do with recent changes such as Lee Anderson defecting to Reform, George Galloway winning in Rochdale? What are your thoughts about that? Has that harmed the government in any way?
Well, certainly Rishi Sunak felt compelled to speak to the nation after George Galloway was elected. You know, obviously, George Galloway represents a threat primarily to the Labour Party because obviously he's giving an alternative to the hard left, if we can call them that, but also providing a focus really for the fact that the government and the opposition haven't really been able to take a position vis-a-vis Gaza. You know, so I think it really spooked the Conservative Party, and it was a PR disaster. We were talking earlier about PR, but this was an utter PR disaster. Whoever advised the Prime Minister to come out on the steps of Downing Street and make a statement really in response to George Galloway being elected, it's absolutely astonishing. And he's only going to be there for a few months, you know, because we're going to have a general election soon. But the Lee Anderson defection, I think, is a desperate attempt also by the Reform Party to be seen to be relevant, because, of course, in Rochdale, they were absolutely destroyed by Galloway because Galloway was coming out with an argument which resonated with the public, who are appalled at what's happening with Gaza. And this is no reflection on their position previously vis-a-vis Israel. You know, this is about the fact that the government has absolutely messed up. And there has been this sort of corporatist thinking because the opposition party, opposition parties and the Conservative government are absolutely focused on the needs of the defence industry, which, of course, is feeding all of these wars. And it's astonishing that it took somebody like George Galloway to come out and say what most people are thinking, most right-thinking people are thinking. So I think this indicates why there's been a massive slump in the support for both the Conservative Party, but also the opposition parties and certainly the Reform Party. And of course, Lee Anderson's been all over the place. He was previously with the Labour Party, then joined the Conservatives, was party chairman for just a few weeks ago, and then suddenly defects to the Reform Party because they're all running around like headless chickens because they have no idea what to do, because they're all members essentially of the Uni Party, because they all essentially have the same positions on just about every geopolitical issue.
I mean, that is the reality, isn't it? Mark is thoroughly pleased to see you here this morning, Jeff. Brilliant guest, says Mark. Yes, thank you, Mark. We truly appreciate that. Shug says all politics need to end. I can't think of anything more useless than a politician. I mean, I loathe the political system, Jeff. It makes absolutely no sense to me. Obviously, as you say, it's a uniparty system. They're pretty much all sort of compromised to a certain degree. Sir Keir Starmer, when he was asked which he preferred, Davos or Westminster, he chose Davos, which of course famously is where the WEF meetings are annually. And so that kind, I think, tells us rather a lot, doesn't it? And they switch and change all the time, don't they? Highly untrustworthy. And I've just been reading this quote that was given to The Telegraph. The Telegraph, of course, is another newspaper that is in deep with the politicians and with the royal family. It's an establishment newspaper. So if they publish a comment, you can bet it's come from probably, you know, a good source. And it said about Penny Mordaunt, the mood has shifted a long way this week. There is a feeling that we cannot go on as we are and that even Penny would be better. Now, Jeff, isn't that key? Isn't the fact that we are now in a situation and have been for many years that we are voting for the least worst person?
Yeah, well, that's if there's an opportunity for a vote, of course. Rishi Sunak was simply appointed by the party. There was no vote. There was no membership vote. When there was a membership vote, he didn't get much of it. You know, so we had appointed somebody who had no popular support, even within the Conservative Party. The same thing will almost certainly apply to Penny Mordaunt. She will just simply be anointed. But of course, it'll be absolutely devastating. If Penny Mordaunt becomes leader of the Conservative Party, the party will be utterly annihilated in the polls. And the turnout is going to be probably the lowest turnout in any general election in history, because people, as you say, are completely turned off from politics because they are just stringing us along. They're treating us as absolute fools. And this is an utter unmitigated disaster for the Conservative Party, but more importantly for democracy, because they are treating us with utter contempt. This is corporatism on speed, and this is verging on fascism. And nobody in their right mind, no thinking person, is going to sit back and allow this to happen, because more and more they're going to be coming up against ordinary decent people out there who think this is utterly abhorrent and that the United Kingdom is singularly going down the shitter. So this is absolutely appalling what's going on.
Absolutely. Jeff, if you wouldn't mind sticking around with me so we can carry on unpacking this, we are just going to go to some headlines and we will be right back.
Big news, news, news.
A story which contains more than first meets the ear.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. The mainstream press in the West is once again being exposed for twisting the truth to suit the establishment's anti-Trump narrative. The White House says it has not and will not try and talk France or any other NATO country out of sending troops to Ukraine, if that's what they want to do. And US President Joe Biden is reportedly growing anxious and angry about his plummeting popularity and the increasing likelihood that he will be defeated in November's election.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Please keep all your comments coming in. We love to read them. Peter Folder says the political system is completely broken and beyond repair. And there is this sense, certainly amongst sort of discerning people, that the system is just an absolute mess. We cannot persist with it. And in fact, Penny, this tells you how desperate they are, of course, Jeff, is that Penny Mordaunt, of course, ran for leader of the Conservative Party before. She was up against Rishi Sunak. She was up against Liz Truss. Liz Truss then had that ill-fated, very short period as Prime Minister, approximately 49 days, if I remember correctly. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, it just doesn't it just tell us what an absolute shower we are witnessing here, Jeff?
It absolutely does. And of course, she ran, she wasn't successful, and therefore she's going to run again. It's a bit like, you know, the remember we used to say about the referendums in Ireland, you know, that over the Maastricht Treaty or whatever, they if they didn't get the result right in the first place, they would just rerun them. The same thing applies in the Conservative Party. They'll just rerun leadership elections until they kind of appoint the next sausage machine leader of the Conservative Party. You know, it's absolutely ludicrous. And of course, the irony is that Liz Truss was elected by membership. You know, she had a mandate and that didn't matter. You know, like she can't stay. She can't possibly stay. So what they did is they orchestrated another psyop, you know, that Liz Truss, within a few days of taking office, had destroyed the economy. Right. This sort of conveniently overlooked the fact that they had spent £450 billion in terms of so-called COVID response. You know, they had absolutely destroyed and shafted the economy. You know, but it's Liz Truss's fault. Now, she's got many faults, you know, but I don't think she was singularly responsible for trashing the United Kingdom's economy. Or causing some massive explosion in the price of oil or a run on the pound. All of these things were caused by gargantuan overspending by the UK government, the Conservative government, running nearly $3 trillion of debt, a debt mountain the like of which we've never seen ever in history. And yet it was all Liz Truss's fault, even though she was democratically elected by the membership of the Conservative Party. And they put in somebody who we'd never really come across except when he was spending taxpayers' money on furlough payments during COVID, namely Rishi Sunak.
Right. That was a PR job.
Car crash.
But Jeff, wasn't that a PR job? Do you remember the newspapers were calling him Dishy Rishi and everything?
Oh, yes,
it was just
absolutely.
Total PR job. But you're a tech guy, right, Jeff? So do you not, I mean, I think that Rishi was put in place for CBDCs because of his involvement in tech. Obviously, his in-laws own Infosys. Infosys have lots of government contracts. Do you think that Rishi is there probably to push through CBDCs and digital ID, or is that just my thinking?
No, it's definitely the momentum, but it's been building up for some time. You know, I think the origins of this corporatism goes back to the fact that the United Kingdom is a member of the Five Eyes network. It's a kind of spook network that involves obviously all of the spooks in the five nations: the United Kingdom, U.S., Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. The five nations which were the most draconian in terms of COVID response, obviously Israel is a kind of putative member of the Five Eyes network as well, because they would love to get in there. But these sort of securocratic nations are all members and collaborate in terms of what needs to be done really to run the populace so that the elites can get on and jet around the world whittering about climate change. So, you know, there's clearly a security and cryptography and cybersecurity agenda here at play, which has been building up over time. And Infosys and all of the big tech firms, the big Indian outsourcers, as they used to be, have been heavily involved in this because only they have the capability and the manpower really to put together these systems. So it's not just Indian companies, obviously, but you've got the Silicon Valley firms as well. And of course, these are all leading members of the World Economic Forum. So they all sort of get around. They chat at G7 meetings and the World Economic Forum meetings and the Five Eyes Network meetings. Oh, how are we going to rule the populace? Because they're getting a bit unruly. Let's put in place some decent chap who can deliver it for us. So it's an internecine network of spooks that seem to be running most of our governments these days. And want to run us as well. And CBDCs are part of that, because once you put in place a digital identity. You can track and control everybody, as they were trying to do with COVID. Then you can tell them how they should spend their money. And it's already beginning to happen. You know, sometimes people will want to, you know, use their Visa card to buy a product.
Right.
And then suddenly they get a text message saying, you can't, are you sure you want to buy that? We think it might be fraud. So right. It's beginning to creep in as to how we should spend our money, and that there's a big brother overseeing that process. And CBDCs are going to be that on speed.
Absolutely. Yeah. A viewer wrote to me last week. She said that she went into a bank to take out £350 and they said, what do you want it for? She said, none of your damn business. And it's outrageous. Who do these people think they are? But listen, Jeff, I greatly appreciate you joining me this morning. This, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly why Jeff joined me this morning. Just because, Jeff, you're so capable of giving us a big view about what is taking place. And I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Everybody, this is Jeff Peel, and I will be right back.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing, nurturing, rescuing, honoring, protecting, caring, inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
Need a ride?
Yeah!
Driving with kids is a big responsibility.
Hop in and buckle up!
So don't sweat the small stuff.
You got paint all over our paper!
Get the big stuff right instead.
What does that mean?
Like making sure your kids are in the correct car seat and buckled up for safer travel.
That deserves a wiggly wiggly wig!
To make sure your child is in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Beep, beep. Yeah.
Sonia Poulton on today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm just reading some insane messages. Mogden says a little shop assistant on the till was wearing a body camera. What on earth is going on? And Holly says, I agree, Jeff. I pointed out to someone the other day who couldn't see the problem with no cash. What happens if your bank simply says no? She looks shocked. Really dumb, I thought. And Shug says, one day we'll wake up and all the money will be gone. They'll steal the lot and give us the CBDC. AI is already making many redundant. Catherine says, Sonia, my dad was questioned by his bank too for wanting to withdraw his own money. This is outrageous. Who do these people think they are? They've been able to get away with too much for too long. Time for a revolution, people. Please don't take that the wrong way. Obviously, a mind revolution is what we require here. Now, I just want to, good morning to you all on YouTube. Hey, things are happening so fast here this morning. Our first, as I say, first two-hour show. A little bit crazy, but hey, that's what happens, isn't it? Good morning to you on YouTube, Shin and Gazgano and London Lady. Good morning to you all. Thank you for joining us here on the Sonia Poulton Show on today's News Talk TNT. And talking about which, I am delighted to be joined by somebody who has a CV as long as your arm and then some. So, Chris Thrall, lovely to have you with us, Chris. I'm just reading some of your achievements. You are a living action man, aren't you? I mean, that is the reality, aren't you? You're a living, breathing, human action man.
Oh, Sonia, you're very kind, but as I think probably some of our shared viewers know, my life wasn't always like that. It was very dark at one point. I was chronically mentally unwell to the point where the medical community told my family it would be best to section me and that I'd be there for life. Massively addicted to crystal meth, couldn't function without it.
Amazing.
Definitely couldn't function with it. And to go from a sort of quote unquote strapping young Marine who thought he was on top of the world, to really sinking into the just I can't explain the depravity in the darkness. And you said a fascinating thing then. You said a revolution of the mind. And I was like, yes, that is exactly what is happening to humanity, because the light came into my life, Sonia, my darkest, lowest, most upset moment. And I made a few promises then to myself. I said, I'm going to start looking after that inner child.
Good.
You know, adults may have been bad to that, you know, to me as a little one, but it was me being bad to myself now. And so I made a promise to start loving myself, which I don't think I ever stopped. But more importantly, I made a promise never to be the victim again in my life.
Oh, hallelujah to that. Chris, this is really interesting what you say here, right? And I think people, when they show their vulnerability, that's also showing strength, because lots of people hide who they really are, the dark journey that they've perhaps been to. I not only didn't hide it, I put it in the pages of newspapers. I sort of expunged all my darkness in the pages of newspapers. There's nothing wrong with that. But Chris, none of that undermines your achievements. And let's talk about some of them. You were Green Beret of the elite Royal Marines Commandos. You were on active service in Northern Ireland. You have done training in Arctic warfare and survival. You've raised thousands of pounds for charity. You were awarded the second level commendation medal of Finland for human generosity. You've traveled to 80 countries across 7 continents. You've run just under 1,000 miles, the length of Britain unsupported. I mean, come on now. You're a qualified pilot. You're a skydiver, you're a best-selling author, you are a popular YouTuber. So I think you are a perfect example of someone who's come through the darkness and is shining. And there's nothing wrong with that darkness. In that can hold all manner of richness that can take us on to the next level, Chris. So I think big up yourself, frankly.
Oh, very kind of you again, Sonia. Thank you. Yes, listen, Sonia, I've just lived my life. That's it. You know, when you've been down in the darkness, I came back up and I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to smash everything out. So at least you got to remember, I was in the 3D matrix material world back then. I wasn't the person I am now. It was really important to me to be able to say, look, I've traveled all 7 continents. I'm an Antarctic explorer. I'm a polar scuba diver. The money wasn't sort of forthcoming. So I went for the experience way. And I'm a very different person now, Sonia. I realize that paradise is within, that we are all there. You've just got to peel off the layers of the onion of deception that have been clad on us from birth, starting with that bloody birth certificate and the number that people talk about. I wouldn't, you know, worry too much about that, folks. But once you realize every single thing you've ever been taught is a lie, your health is a lie, the way that you get ill is a massive, massive lie, the medical system's a lie, the big pharma's a lie, the education system's utterly infiltrated and corrupted, the university system the same, the banking system, the fractional reserve, the central banks, all again a massive lie. And it's all designed to keep you in your lower animal self, your ego-centric, full of desire, popping your pictures on Instagram and getting more tattoos in the hope that somehow people will love you. And it doesn't work like, you know, the ancients would tell us it doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it doesn't work that way. And the great thing, of course, is that we're able to see through the propaganda and the lies that we are fed on a daily. And the newest one, of course, is that, and they're determined to bring this in, Chris. They keep bringing this back. And that is the idea of conscription in the UK. We had it about a month ago when a minister was saying, oh, we should consider it. But it's been brought back in to the national headlines again this weekend. UK should consider conscription to deter Russia, says the Latvian foreign minister. And when I was looking through the newspapers, they've used some old propaganda pictures of people in queues, like saying things like "step into your place," which is really obviously very alarming. This Latvian minister is saying that we should follow the Finnish model. The Finnish model is all able-bodied men between the ages of 18 and 27 are required to complete an 11-month term of national service. We're going to have mutiny if we try and introduce that into the UK, aren't we? Chris, what are your thoughts about that?
Hey, maybe I'll get another medal from Finland.
Yay!
Yes, it's utterly insane. Again, just all part of the big lie, isn't it? The massive brainwashing that that poor youngsters go through. It's first off, people need to know war is just utterly evil and atrocious. The notion that you can take another life and then just skip on with your life and it's all hunky-dory, it's ludicrous. Imagine having to live with that for the rest of your life, that you killed another teenager. Because I was 18 when I patrolled the streets of Belfast. I was 18 years old. I think I might have been 19, Sonia. And I had what was effectively, you know, what a civilian would call a machine gun. It was actually a fully automatic weapon, SA-80. But, you know, I'm 19. What did I know? And I also come from, as we've ascertained, a really damaged background. I probably wasn't the guy that you wanted in charge of law and order.
Or with a machine gun.
Yes. And yes, these politicians, they live on a different planet. I want to know this Finnish prime minister, what's his name? Foreign minister.
Mr. Sorry, Karins.
Yeah, yes. I think it's Latvia's foreign minister.
Yes.
Kristianis Karins. I want to know like his finances. I want to know his bank account. I want to know which arms companies he has shares in. I want to know how are what we call on my channel, the big club. How are they blackmailing him to come out with this stuff? I want to know what's his Masonic ties, etc.
This, of course, is all allegedly. Before you come after me, Latvian foreign minister, but we are allowed to guess and we are allowed to have opinions about what could be taking place here. And it is interesting, the issues you raise, Chris, because what you're essentially saying is that nothing is straightforward anymore. We need to look behind and see if people are compromised when they are making these huge pronouncements, right? And I think that is an absolute fair point.
They're all compromised unless they've come into the light, Sonia. And I'm not trying to be religious here or anything.
No,
I'm
understood. Saying,
I'm saying this is what all the ancient texts are about, are step into the light. That's that moment when I said I'm never going to be a victim again. My life changed. I woke up the next day in paradise and I've never left. I'm never going to hurt another human being unless you come through, you know, my front door for untoward purposes.
Oh, absolutely.
I have nothing but love, kindness, peace and empathy for every single person on this planet, even the ones that do me harm. Not because I'm some kind of moron or a bit naive, but because if you start to see life in terms of energy, frequency and vibration, which it is, then you can affect life more for the changes you want to see by starting to manage that energy. And this is where individuals fall down when they're newly awakened. It's called the fourth dimension. Get very angry. They want to wake everyone up. And why aren't you like me? Why don't you see that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to give some examples and get you in trouble, but you know, why can't you see like what's going on? This, you know, this thing that, and you know,
it's frustrating, isn't it? It is.
Well,
really
no,
difficult.
It's not. This is the whole point. It's
not frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating when you're newly awakened and
yes.
you haven't yet stepped into the new consciousness, and the new consciousness, aka the light. And I know this is probably losing a lot of people, but I'm saying this for the people out there that are starting
to get
it.
Stay with us, people. Because I take your point, Chris. I think it's important. And it's really interesting that you've come from a certain kind of mindset. I want to go back to you being 18 or 19. What is it like for an 18 or 19 year old to be patrolling a war zone like Belfast as you did? What was going on in your mind when you were doing that?
Whoa. So first off, I was doing my job I was very extremely proud of, and always will be. I came from a broken, very broken home. It's not a part of my life I sort of go to anymore. But to pass out with the elite Royal Marines Commandos, which is like, it's like thousands upon thousands to one shot just to get into the Marines, let alone to pass out as a commando. And about our third week there, I opened the main gate of the camp to let a patrol out. And the next thing, I just heard all this gunshots down the street. Bang, 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 bang. And in that process, we lost one of our Marines. Well, I say lost. You know, he got shot through the head. Our boss, the big boss, fell us all in. He said, right, fellas, we've had an unfortunate incident. We're Royal Marines Commandos. Let's get back out and do our job. I'm 19 from a broken home, Sonia. That moment, like, I went out there and I did my job. Albeit, you know, we've all got different views on the military as you get older and wiser and maturer. And the same, the guy behind me got shot three times. Fortunately, two of the rounds hit his equipment. One of the rounds hit his, we call it an Aniba jacket, but you'd call it like a bulletproof vest.
Right.
I remember the gunman turning his sights on me because I was the next guy in the patrol, and I was watching the grass flicking up around me, and we were charging into cover, not realizing our tail end Charlie was spark out on the floor. And he survived, and it was exciting. It was incredibly exciting. Wow. It was a massive adrenaline rush on a par with any substance you can take.
Wow.
And of course this is the trap, isn't it? Why should you be in a war zone to get your kicks? You know, it's
Yeah, it's not okay. It's really not okay. And so the thing is obviously the Finnish conscription model, right? It's actually basically enabled them to build this small, well, army with a reserve of up to about 250, so quarter of a million of trained troops. But, you know, the thing is, Chris, when you were there, right, did you ever come across other people on active duty who were not working class? Did you come across, for example, the sons of politicians? Were they on the front line with you? Because I just think that working class people have been treated as just disposable. I always say, if we're going to have a war, if the politicians want to put their children on the front line first, then I'll listen. But they don't, do they? It's all about the collateral damage of people that they don't really care about.
Yeah, well, we know that we're cattle, aren't we? It's just a clever matrix of deception.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's all based on keeping people in their low ebb, low vibrational state. And yes, we gotta raise the vibration, as my good friend Danny Ramplin's always saying.
Always. And let me ask you this. What impact do you think it has on people? Because this is several times this week again where the national press have managed to shoehorn in this whole idea of conscription. They did it in a study that was released last week to do with how many people are economically inactive. And suddenly the headlines are, send Generation Z out to war, conscription. I mean, this is absolute propaganda, isn't it?
Yeah, they, they're, they're, They're an ancient club, Sonia. They go back thousands of years to Babylon. They know what they're doing. They know the numbers. They know the statistics. They know that if they do this, the public's going to do this. As David says a lot, problem, reaction, solution. This could be for a lot of things. This could be to test the water. Most British people, English people, don't want to go to war, do they? I think we're kind of moving on from that. That's why our military's struggling to make the numbers. Whether you're going to see the suggestions that let's get the immigrants in the army. That could be dangerous. It's their new world order, isn't it? It's a constant gameplay. It's constantly keeping people in fear of a fabricated or a fabled enemy, as we've well seen for the last 20 years now. And until we rise up out of that low vibrational state of believing that people hate each other, they don't, Sonia. I've lived, worked and traveled. You said 80 countries. I think it's 85 now, all seven continents. And yes, I've seen some strange things in Pakistan with in the tribal areas. You get some, you know, I wouldn't want those individuals living next door to me, put it that way. But overall, I've just received nothing but love everywhere I've gone around the planet. People giving me their bed while they sleep on the floor in a mud hut in Africa. And this is it. We're born to love. We're not born to hate. That is drilled into us.
Yes, 100%.
That's drilled into us.
The thing is, Chris, I mean, you know, you made that reference to Pakistan, but obviously Pakistan isn't solely exclusive to having horrible people. But what you're absolutely saying, and you're right about this, is we are being taught to hate each other, right? To go to war with each other. And this is just, it's all war talk, isn't it? And it is all designed to control us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can tell you as a veteran, we make up the highest mental health statistics, the highest suicide statistics, the highest substance abuse statistics, the highest homeless. People need to ask, you know, why is that? And one of the reasons is, you know, it's incredibly that they recruit from a incredibly damaged pool of people. And yes, I'm not knocking the military. I believe there's there's an honor in wanting to defend the people that you love, but that's not what we've seen for the last 20 years, is it? We've seen our military, our brave, brave people used as instruments for the military industrial complex.
And that is exactly what's happened.
It's so great that people are waking up to this now. We've had a royalty that sat back and let them get on with it for 20 years, not to mention the last 3 years. I think people are, you know, they're getting wise to this.
Got you. Listen, Chris, thank you so much for joining us this morning. This, everybody, is Chris Thrall, somebody who is not afraid to say, yeah, I've been vulnerable, but I'm here now and let's do this. Chris, have a fantastic Monday. Thank you for joining us on the Sonia Poulton Show, and we will be right back. See you shortly.